It's Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
Gotta be honest. Still kind of coming down from the rationale of Ranji in the last segment there.
Look, man, it's a lot like an opioid high. You need to be careful with it, first of all. But if you do it, it's going to take a while. But then the come down is really hard and it's not good. So
it was like a religious experience, man.
Yeah,
that was something else.
Do you feel enlightened?
Well, my bank account will after I take.
Do you feel fulfilled?
Well, at the end of the season, when I win those bets, then I will feel fulfilled.
Okay.
But I feel like my soul has been elevated. My betting soul has been elevated thanks to the rationale of Ranji in the last segment. Whale capper Drew Densick joins us in 20 minutes, giving us some bets for the Olympics. Yes, that is a serious sentence that I just uttered. Next hour, Michael Felder, college football analyst for Stadium, is going to join us to break down, you know, college football. Well, what are we going to do? Badminton. We'll talk about the SEC. We'll talk about some of the other big picture betting topics in college football. Anthony Amico coming up next hour as well. Player props for the NBA draft, which is 1 week from tonight. And that's awesome. And final hour is the power hour. All our bets for tonight. I got 6 bets on Major League Baseball. We will get Chris's take on all 8 games tonight on the diamond coming up in the final hour tonight. You better, you bet. But right now, we are pleased to welcome to the show one of our favorite guests, absolute stud when it comes to breaking down Major League Baseball. You read his work at ats.io. You also listen to his podcast there as well. You follow him on Twitter at Skating Tripods. He is the great Adam Burke, nice enough to join us here on a Thursday on You Better You Bet. Adam, welcome back to the show. Nick Costos with Chris Ranji in for Ken Barkley. How you doing today?
I'm doing well. I'm honored to be the opener for Drew Densick. That's a big-time honor for sure. That guy's incredible.
Adam, you should feel honored, but I think we're happy to talk to you here first because this has been a really interesting baseball season, and I think we all knew as soon as they made that, rule addition about the sticky stuff, and we've heard a lot about it, that it was going to affect the performance of pitching. We knew that was going to happen. I hated the fact they did it in the middle of the season, but here we are. What do you make of the offense that we've seen since, because there has been a lot more of it now as opposed to what it was like before Major League Baseball decided to come down on that?
Yeah, absolutely. There's been a lot more offense, and really the biggest reason why is because the strikeout percentage is down so much in Major League Baseball. It's almost down 1% across the league since the spin rate or the substance crackdown started, and we're getting a lot more balls in play. And that also means a lot more balls in play for guys that used to strike out a lot. So guys that hit for power, guys that hit for doubles, stuff like that, they've had a lot more success here ever since the start of June. And in fact, when you look at what's happened since the All-Star break, and here in the second half, massive power spike, very, very big power spike across the league. Slugging percentage is up quite significantly. Strikeout rate remains pretty low relative to what it was before the All-Star break. So, you know, it makes sense that we've seen a ton of runs here over the 6 days, and you know, a pretty high scoring game here this afternoon between the Rangers and Tigers as well. So, you know, it's one of those things where offense is just really taking an upturn. And the question now is, when does it regress back to the mean? Because I think part of it is pitchers are going on 7, 8, 9, 10 days of rest coming out of the All-Star break. They're not particularly sharp. Is this the new normal? Or as pitchers get back into their rhythms, will we kind of go back and see what we saw, you know, kind of throughout the month of June and the early part of July?
All right, Adam, let's take the temperature now where we're at right now in the futures market, right? We'll get into more specific stuff as we move along here, including a pick or two for tonight if you have it. But at this point right now, anywhere on the board that you want to go, player specific, Cy Young, MVP, division futures, World Series, pennant, anywhere on the board that you want to go, what's a future or two that stands out to you, Adam Burke, as potentially valuable?
You know, right now, Nick, there's a lot of things I like with the Washington Nationals. You know, I mean, you look at the NL MVP market with Jacob deGrom now hurt, with Ronald Acuna Jr. being hurt, and you got to like Juan Soto. I mean, Juan Soto comes out of the All-Star break hitting extremely well, talked about going to the Home Run Derby, how he thought maybe that could fix his swing, generate a little bit more lift. That has happened so far. And when I look at that NL East division, I think it's pretty wide open. I mean, I know that the Mets lead it right now, but with DeGrom out, with Francisco Lindor out probably until late August or so, I think that division is very wide open right now. I don't think the Braves can do it. I think the Braves ultimately become a seller before the trade deadline. I've got a 9-1 price on the Phillies from before the season. I just don't think that they're good enough. I think a team that could sneak in there is the Washington Nationals on the back of Juan Soto, on the back of Max Scherzer, if they improve the bullpen a little bit here at the trade deadline, which I think is a possibility. So that's one division and the NL MVP race that I'm watching very closely where I think Washington features very prominently.
What about the American League East? Tampa Bay is just a game back of Boston right now. The Red Sox are having a surprising season. I don't think any of us thought they would be in first place this deep into the year, but here we are. And Tampa Bay is you know, they do what they typically do. They're at least hanging around and trying to be a playoff team this year. With the Yankees 7 games back, I know people hate what the Yankees have done this year, and they are worried about, you know, if they're going to be competitive for the rest of the year, but I almost cannot totally give up on them. So how do you see the American League East, and have you given up on New York?
No, I haven't given up on the Yankees yet. I mean, when you look at a lot of their offensive indicators, they should be significantly better than they are. They've been awful with men in scoring position. That doesn't really line up with what they've done with the bases empty. They've been really bad in terms of situational hitting overall, you know, getting a runner home from third with less than 2 outs, but they've made a lot of quality contact throughout the course of the season. So if they're able to stay healthy here in the second half, maybe get a little bit healthier, I don't think they can win the division. I think they can kind of scare Oakland or somebody like that for the second wild card. I think that's definitely a possibility for them. As far as the winner of the division goes, I'm not a huge believer in Boston long-term, but like most handicappers, I wish I had a crystal ball. I wish I knew what Chris Sale was going to look like when he comes back. If he is that impact front of the rotation starter that we know him to be, all of a sudden that rotation looks pretty good with Eduardo Rodriguez coming around, with Nate Eovaldi kind of being, you know, that third or fourth choice for the Cy Young. That's what I'm really interested in. I want to see how Chris Sale looks when he comes back. The problem is we probably have 3 or so weeks before we actually get a look at that. So right now, you know, I'm kind of staying away from the American League East futures market, but maybe an opportunity will present itself here in about 3 or 4 weeks' time.
Adam, let's go from East to West and the National League West specifically, where last night on Wednesday night, the San Francisco Giants came back in the 9th. They need to be Kenley Jansen. Jansen booed off the mound. San Francisco, first place right now in the National League West. They've won 2 of 3 against the Dodgers in the series, faced them tonight in the final set. They go back and they play again coming up next week. Giants plus 350 to win the NL West, plus 950 to win the World Series here. Where are you at right now in the San Francisco Giants, the viability of this team? And maybe they do hold off the Dodgers and the Padres, Adam, to win the division.
Yeah, I mean, I took a piece of the Giants to win the World Series a couple of weeks ago. They were in the 12 to 15 to 1 range at a lot of the books out there, and I was able to find a 15 to 1. And it's like we talked about, you know, a few weeks ago on the show, that a lot of people have been expecting the other shoe to drop with this team, and it hasn't happened. And when you look at them statistically, they're right there with the Dodgers. I mean, their offense is almost just as good. Their rotation is almost just as good. The bullpen has gotten a lot better over the last couple of months. And I do think that they do bolster that unit as we go forward. The return of Logan Webb, I think, is really, really nice for them. He's a great fourth starter for that rotation. So I think the Giants are there for the long haul. That being said, I do like the Dodgers tonight. I do like Walker Buehler in this matchup. Anthony DeSclafani does have some regression signs in the profile. And this is the first game in this series that I feel like has been accurately priced. You know, I feel like in the first 3 games, the big line movement on Monday and the last 2 days, that the Dodgers have been inflated a little bit, that perception of San Francisco not being as good as their performance has really permeated the market. Tonight, I think the game is lined pretty accurately, and I do like the Dodgers from a matchup standpoint, but I think that a lot of people have disrespected the Giants too long. But when you look at their numbers, they are almost as good as Los Angeles, if not better in some areas. And I do think that they're very active at the trade deadline, and I do think that Farhan Zaidi knows exactly what his team needs in order to win this division. So I think it's a possibility, and I do think they are much better than people actually realize.
Well, keeping with that, the National League West, it seems probably foregone for a lot of people that they're going to get 3 teams in the playoffs. But the next team that could do it would be the Cincinnati Reds, and their odds to make the playoffs, just to be a playoff team, are plus 525. Is there any chance in your mind that happens? Right now, they're 5 games back in the loss column.
No, I don't think so. I mean, this is a team where the bullpen is just atrocious. I mean, it's been bad all year long. The lineup has started to regress quite a bit. They're not hitting at the same level that they were earlier on in the season. I know now Nick Castellanos is banged up a little bit. That doesn't help them at all. Look, the fact that Luis Castillo straightened things out, I think kind of gives them some measure of hope, but I think it's kind of too little too late for them, where they're not going to chase down the Brewers, and they're not going to chase down the second wildcard spot either. So I don't think the Reds really have a chance here. And also, I mean, I think as we kind of go forward here, I mean, I may look to want to fade this team a little bit once they realize that they can't win this division, once they realize that they won't be a playoff team, because they're trying to build from within. They've done a ton of hiring at the minor league level. They've done a lot of developments with their infrastructure organizationally. I think they're going to look at some guys in the month of September if that opportunity presents itself. Maybe it works out for them. Maybe it doesn't. But I think that this is a team that will kind of shift its focus to next season, probably quicker than most of the other pseudo contenders will.
You better, you bet. BetQL, Nick Costos and Chris Ranji in for Ken Barkley on a Thursday, joined by Adam Burke from ATS.io on Twitter at Skating Tripods, breaking down the Major League Baseball betting market. Adam, I know we're still 8 days away from the Major League Baseball trade deadline that's coming up next Friday, July 30th at 4 p.m. Eastern. Is there a way, and I know like this is kind of like, I know you said like, all bettors want a crystal ball. So, I mean, it's like kind of like who the hell knows what's going to happen, but also like you're super sharp. You follow Major League Baseball on a daily basis. Is there a way to get ahead of potential moves that are going to be made at the trade deadline in the betting market, things that you might expect to happen and maybe bets that are valuable to place now before they happen next Friday?
You know, I'm not sure that there's a whole lot of equity left on a Milwaukee World Series ticket, but look, they're already a team that nobody wants to play. I mean, they've got three elite starters in Freddie Peralta, Corbin Burnes, and Brandon Woodruff. They've got pretty good depth with Hauser in the rotation as well. And they've got Devin Williams and Josh Hader at the top of what is a very solid bullpen. I think they get Joey Gallo. I think they wind up with an impact bat here prior to the trade deadline. There's been a lot of talk in social media circles that they are going to make a significant move. And when you look at the fact that the Milwaukee Bucks just won the NBA title, you try to feed off of that. You know, I think about the Indians in 2016. The Cavs won the title. Stipe won the heavyweight title in UFC. Lake Erie Monsters won the Calder Cup. The Indians really built off of that. And then, of course, wound up going to the World Series and losing to the Cubs. So I think there's sort of
in a heartbreaking fashion, we should probably throw out there. In heartbreaking fashion in Game 7, we should throw out there.
Yeah, please throw that out there because I wasn't at that game or anything like that.
Sorry, buddy.
But, you know, when you think about the fact that the Bucks just won the NBA title, there's additional pressure on the Brewers to go out there and try to make an impact move. And I think that they probably will. And I think Gallo is the guy for them. So that's one where if you can find maybe the best price in the market that you can possibly find on them to win the World Series, win the NL pennant, something like that, that's one where I do think they make some sort of really impactful move that winds up taking their odds down even further. You know, along with the fact that much like the White Sox in the American League, they're pretty much locked into winning that division.
What do you think of the Houston Astros? And they can hit. They're one of the best teams in the American League, actually in baseball, offensively. They've had pretty good starting pitching. Their relief corps has not been quite as good. Does that team at right now plus 625 to win the whole thing? Do they have enough in their bullpen to be able to make a run and win the World Series against some of these other teams?
I think they have enough for a deep run. I don't know if they have enough to win it, but I do think that the opportunity will be there for them over the next 8 or 9 days to pick up whatever pieces they need. And the biggest thing about that plus 625 ticket right now is they're making the playoffs. I mean, whether they win the division or they go into the wild card game, they are making the playoffs. And at this point in time, to me, I think that's really important. I think that's worth a lot of equity to know that a team is going to make it. And a team like Houston specifically that, I mean, their offense is virtually unstoppable. I mean, their offense is so good. It's such a deep lineup. They've even had some guys kind of in and out here lately. If they need to fix the bullpen, if they believe that they need to fix the bullpen, I think that they will. I think they'll pick up a depth starter if they want to. You know, we'll see what happens with them as they kind of go forward here, who comes back from the IL and who doesn't. But I mean, look, nobody wants to face that lineup. And when you look at the game right now with the crackdown on the foreign substances, it's an offense first game. And you don't find a better offense in baseball than the Astros.
Adam, we really appreciate you having you on. One last question for you here, and I hate to ask this, but listen, we all bet on sports. We've all had a lot of bad losses. We're all sports fans. Our teams have all lost. Which loss was worse for the Indians, 2016 against the Cubs or 97 against the Marlins?
Nick, why do you do this to me? Like, what are
you're a huge fan. Listen, this is like the beauty of sports, man, the wins and the losses.
Oh, boy.
So the worst one to me was 2016 because I was a season ticket holder that year. You know, I was growing up with 97, and it was my first true taste of Cleveland sports heartbreak. But 2016, it was there. They had the 3-1 lead. I mean, it's one they should have won. Absolutely. 2016, I will never live that down, even if they win a World Series in my lifetime.
You know what I say? Screw Jose Mesa and Edgar Renteria, those jerks. Uh-oh. Great job, Adam. We love having you on the show. On Twitter, at Skating Tripods. Check out his work, ATS.io. Adam, we'll talk to you soon, bud.
Absolutely. Don't ask me about the World Series again, Nick.
All right. We'll talk to you later, buddy. That's the great Adam Burke. By the way, my team's won 5 in my lifetime. Okay. Take a quick break here.
Oh, my God, you.
I'm a Yankees fan. And when we get, listen, you got, well, you're all right. Well, I don't know. We'll talk about this another time. Drew Densick, the whale capper, Olympic bets right after this.
How should you bet tonight's player props? The prop king, Nick Kostos, has your answers on You Better You Bet from BetQL.